Giulio Consiglio's new book is Cosmic Contact. He posts on Twitter and Instagram the videos he takes of these ships, and they are really amazing. So check that out when you can.
They have quite a sense of humor. I've had several experiences back here where all of a sudden I'm in the backyard and I notice a very low star or what appears to be a star. But I quickly realized it's brighter than anything I'm seeing. It's larger. Just this past weekend, before one of the major sightings, I had a low stationary, quote unquote, star on the right side of the northwest sky. And I literally spoke out and said, "You're not a star." And immediately it went lights out.
Giulio Consiglio, you're incredible with the videos and the ET contact. Okay, let's just get right out of the chute here. And if anyone who's listening wants to find out what I'm talking about, Instagram's a great place to start. Also Twitter. But we had talked before with your other books, the Open Your Third Eye and the Healing Frequency. Challenge Your Thoughts is one, and the current one is now Cosmic Contact, available either in paperback or Kindle. This is, I think it's exploded. Is there, you have an idea of why it's beginning to become increasingly more prolific with your sightings?
My sense is what's taking place right now is the visitors that have been coming to the backyard have realized I have no fear and I actually welcome them. So it's been quite incredible when you reflect on it. I went from having maybe one sighting a week or one sighting every 2 weeks to now multiple sightings virtually every time I step out into the backyard in the evening. So there is absolutely, I mean, even with the initial sighting, there was no fear whatsoever. It was actually an inner sort of elation, and I wasn't even expecting it. So, there's just an openness, and I come from a non-attachment as well. So when I'm out there, I'm not expecting anything to happen necessarily. So I think they really resonate with that frequency that I'm sort of emitting. And that's why the sightings have really, really accelerated.
Well, the fun thing about it is you have neighbors, too, that you include. And sometimes you'll hear the neighbors and they're going, well, look at that. Look, it's not just you. It's a family affair.
No. Yes. And you know what? I've mentioned to the guys before, I'm incredibly grateful, especially on those initial sightings, especially the first time the black triangle showed up, because It was just too incredible, of an experience. And I'm glad they were with me and, you know, some of the other very up close subsequent sightings. So I'm very happy. I mean, I've had tons now without them present, but I'm really, really grateful that they were there for those initial ones, because having two other people seeing exactly what I'm seeing just sort of made it. Not that it would have been really difficult for me to share what was going on, but it just made it a little bit easier. You know, it's not just me who has experienced these. I have two other individuals that have witnessed it. And I've even had two siblings with me and a niece during one of the sightings, and just incredible.
Okay, so with the Black Triangle, that always begs the question, is there military activity? Do you think this could be military in some way?
My sense, and even if you want to just really get to the heart of the matter, my inner knowing is that it is not military. The night began, it was a clear night, and we were chatting in the backyard, and for some reason I sort of just moved away from the guys about 7 or 8 feet, and I actually got the vibrational hit. I got the sense to look up. And it was blended in the night sky about 200-300 feet above us. So that was the first experience with this triangle. Fast forward, though, into the new year, May is when, again, we were back there. We're heading into dusk. It was getting dark. And I was facing the driveway. and the triangle reappeared. So this is a few months later, about 200-300 feet above us. And I immediately noticed it appeared to be more energetic this time. So I called out, it's back, triangle. They turned around and, you know, we stood there for about 2 or 3 minutes. Everyone sort of amazed that we saw it again. And also, as it cleared over our neighbor's house behind us, it vanished, like, before our eyes. A few minutes had passed, and it reappeared again. And when I called out, you know, my one neighbor, Matt, said, you know, BS, I can't believe it's back. I said, turn around. The difference this time, when it came in, it was definitely more energetic. And if you think of a triangle or a pyramid, it's wider at the bottom. Cut, you know, dissect that from top to bottom and then dissect it in half. This was coming towards us, same pattern as before, only the four pieces were coming together and moving apart and then again vanished before our eyes.
Okay, that's not the normal.
Absolutely not.
When you're sensing or you're feeling this, do you have something that indicates like a high frequency sound or, you know, cooling temperature, goosebumps? Is there anything that resonates physically when you have these encounters?
Yes. So even before stepping outside on certain evenings, I will get, you know, the hit, or I'll sort of have an experience of, let's say, bursts of light or color in my living room. And, you know, one particular night, I was watching one of my favorite shows. It was on DVD. It was Bionic $6 Million Man. And I got the urge to go outside and I ignored it. And a few minutes later, one of my neighbors texted me, get out here, you know. And, you know, I went outside and the sightings were starting. And then all, you know, heaven broke loose within minutes of me being outside. But when you're out there and you're actually experiencing it, you know, I relate it as profound, if not more profound than my own spiritual awakening in 2005. You just feel every chakra in you light up. And especially when I see this transforming triangle in its energetic form as orbs, you know, I almost can't put into words the uplifting and spiritual experience that is taking place. You feel a shift in the environment, or personally, I feel a shift when sightings are about to occur. Recently, I've also begun to notice, and it could be, you know, the third eye coming through with that clarity, I see sort of movement within the darkness. It's almost like energy moving within the darkness before a sighting. So there's a lot of information that surrounds us. And when you're really anchored and you're really present, you know, you can read that information. So it's a very profound, very uplifting, it's a very spiritual experience. There's no fear whatsoever. There's no negativity that I've experienced in over 2 years now with this phenomena. So it's been quite remarkable.
In terms of, you know, writing the books and putting them out there, you said there was a sense of urgency with this. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So I sort of had an idea of who I was going to send it out to. And when I sent it to the one particular publisher, they said, oh, we'd be looking at perhaps, you know, over a year before we even really get working on this. But my gut feeling and my sense has been this has to be put out now. And I'm glad I listened to that guidance, because more and more sightings are taking place. And I realized, too, I already have, you know, I've already established myself somewhat as a writer. So putting this out there, I had no qualms, you know, putting this out myself, because it's information, I think, that really the general public or people that are interested in this phenomena and want to know and have some insight into it, because I did a lot of channeling in this work. So I'm happy that I'm able to offer some greater insights and clarity. Because, for example, you know, since almost the beginning, I'm going to say a few months when the sightings began, I started experiencing spontaneous flashes of light in the sky. You know, if you could imagine a Kodak camera, but let's say 10 million watts coming down, And, you know, I've even experienced it through thick cloud cover in the middle of winter. And it took me a year to figure out what was the source of these lights. So I'm very happy and I'm very grateful that I'm able to offer some insight into this phenomenon.
When you talk about channeling, so the chapter four, the We're Not Your Saviors, a lot of people think that somehow when everybody's more in contact with ET, extraterrestrial, transdimensional, whatever it is that the others, the visitors are, the big brothers, that everything will be just peachy and all of our problems will vanish or we'll go to another planet where everything's all perfect. It's called, you know, getting somebody else to do your job for you, okay? And so far we're a work in progress, but that's what this is about, and that's what the information you're getting insists. This is a do-it-yourself project.
Absolutely, it is. And I knew this, you know, even before writing this book, having experienced my own shift in consciousness. Number one, nothing outside of me was going to save me. And number two is, you know, what I get from them is, you know, what would be the purpose if they showed up en masse with the majority of people have not, you know, made that shift in awareness, know really who they are as spiritual beings, you know, because ultimately they would just be another distraction. It would just be another thing outside of you to look for, you know, some sort of salvation. So they're saying, no, go within. And it's true in the sense that, you know, if you go within and you find that essence within you, which is the dimension of the inner stillness, and you realize who you are beyond the physical body, that's where you'll actually meet them, because there is a unifying factor between these highly evolved beings and intelligences and ourselves. And it is spirituality, a universal consciousness or cosmic consciousness. And that is that dimension of inner stillness. It's all-encompassing in this universe, in parallel realities. It is unchanging.
When you're channeling, you call the group the collective.
I refer to them to the collective because I actually asked in while I was writing, you know, do you guys have individual names? And they sort of, you know, the hits I was getting was, we really don't operate, you know, by individual names. So they're sort of transcendent beyond that. So as a grouping or as a collective consciousness, they simply gave me the collective. It made sense to me, especially like even recently, where we have had, you know, if we just shift from channeling to the sightings outside in the backyard, you've had multiple shifts come in at the same time, some crossing each other. I've mentioned, you know, sort of like, you know, ships out at sea. And, you know, I've even had the experience where I think I'm recording one object and I look at the recording after and there was like three or four. So it's more than, you know, it's more than one object that I'm experiencing back here. That triangle has been the main, I want to say focus, but has been, I have felt a greater connection with it and just with the sightings being so close at times. So, but there is a collective out there that we're experiencing.
You have a neighbor and he was at, this is James. He was going to take a picture. He was looking at a star. He realized it wasn't a star, went to get his phone. And by the time he was able to photograph it, it was gone. This isn't some people can get the images, the photos, and other people can't. They want to, but it doesn't stay present. Do you have an interpretation or explanation? How do you understand that?
So that's a great question, and I've come to realize this. And even looking at, I don't want to jump topics, but even with Sasquatch, I've heard they have quite a sense of humor. So I've had several experiences back here where all of a sudden I'm in the backyard and I notice a very low star or what appears to be a star. But I quickly realize it's brighter than anything I'm seeing. It's larger. Just this past weekend, before one of the major sightings, I had a low stationary quote unquote star on the right side of the northwest sky. And I literally spoke out and said, you're not a star. And immediately it went lights out. And then I went on to experience a close encounter, a closer one. And then a few minutes later, on the left side of the northwest sky, a low positioned star. And this time through thought, I said, come on, you're not a star. And it just vanished. And there have been times as well, you know, oftentimes I will get, you know, a flash in the sky and I will ask, can you do that again? And most times I do get a response with a flash, but there are times where I don't. And I start laughing because that's their sense of humor, that their playfulness. So that's what I get from that. That's my interpretation is, you know, these highly evolved beings, you know, we think they're so alien from us, but really we share a lot more than we realize. And they have a great sense of humor.
Yeah, that's my sense too, is that the humor is there. It's part of the package. And it's a dry humor. You know, there's no pratfalls, but it's there. And too, when you're saying, you know, okay, blink for me, it's like my night lights, when I was first encountering this and, you know, okay, can you blink? It's like, okay, it's not a dog and pony show, all right? get a hobby.
it's true. Oftentimes I will just experience it, but I do like being able to share that there is a communication happening, because I really find it astounding that, you know, from the human perspective, that they can hear me. But when I realize, you know, from my spiritual vantage point, that, you know, all points in space and time are connected, that there is no distance because of oneness. So, it's remarkable to have that interaction with them.
They're much more present. And, you know, we call it telepathy. It might be something more deeply ingrained. Once you are in sync or you resonate with something, then there's no separation. And the essence of us, which is a spirit form, is already there, where this body is kind of, you know, holding the weight, the lead, and trying to maintain a presence on the manifest plane, while the other part of us is out flying a lot of times. That's what the OBE stuff is all about.
I definitely, you know, 100%, you know, resonate and agree with that. It's so true. We are multidimensional beings. And, you know, until we have that face-to-face interaction, you know, my sense otherwise is that these could be or are, you know, future versions of us coming back to assist with our awakening and our shift and evolution. So, yeah, that definitely resonates with me. There's so much more to the nothingness that surrounds us, this quantum field, than we can even begin to imagine.
Okay, now you talk about a reunion, and how do you anticipate that playing out?
So the first step, or going back to what they were saying, is that, you know, find yourself first, go within first. So as we have more and more people make that shift, and that shift in awareness, so from fear or separation to oneness and unconditional love, come from a place of fearlessness, you know, my sense is, as that collective, you know, the collective of humanity shifts more and more towards that, and they realize, hey, the majority of people now, or a good part of them, are resonating closer to us, meaning them, the extraterrestrials, is they will appear en masse. That is my sense. So, I really sense, I don't want to put a timeline on it, but I sense that moment is upon us. It's in the quantum field, it's already happening, but in this 3D reality, it's upon us. I don't feel that it is too far off either.
Well, a lot of the indigenous cultures say that they are the children of the star people, and that there are other beings here, whether they were, you know, came from the ocean or they came from Middle Earth, wherever, then that this is a part of our history and it's been here with us all along. This modern day discovery of the UFOs out in the sky or landing in a UFO and stepping out and saying, hi, we're here, is more, I think, getting us used to the fact, the Western culture, civilization, used to the fact that they are present and not trying to frighten us, because at that point, then it all goes backwards. Once that fear enters it, then it's going, grabbing the guns, the weapons, and shooting first and asking questions later.
Exactly. And they're cautious, you know, as to who they're going to reveal themselves to, is my sense. So they are, they come in peace. I know this. They come in peace to be able to reach that level where they can manipulate energy. They are energy masters. That evolution comes with and through being harmless. And when I say harmless, is you're operating through unconditional love, where you've realized there's only one of us here, although we seem to be differentiated into countless forms, and being able to do what they can. You know, I've only had a glimpse of what their consciousness-based technology is like. To be able to do what they're doing, it appears to be magic, but to them, that's just status quo. They're operating through that unlimited potential. So they come in, they absolutely come in peace, and they're here waiting and sort of looking and feeling when is the right time to really reveal themselves en masse.
Now, on Instagram, you do post a lot of your visuals. I've also seen them on Twitter. And the triangle that you're talking about, do you have a specific video of that one?
Yes. So it was a few months ago that I caught, because in the winter, I've had a few experiences and sightings very low with the triangle in its energetic form and hadn't been able to capture it. Oftentimes, I just wouldn't have the phone ready. So a few months ago, I captured the triangle in its energetic form as orbs, and it was essentially five or six orbs in a V-shaped pattern or a pyramidal sort of pattern fly perpendicular about 150, 200 feet above me. So I have two, three, or four of those captured of that, including it coming by the townhouse as two orbs. So it took me a while to really sort of understand and sort of connect this triangle when I've seen it in its 3D, you know, touch, feel form, has potential and capabilities that are beyond our understanding right now, or what has been told to us. Because it can upgrade or downgrade its energy signature to the point where it can manifest as these energetic, what I describe as orbs, and then downgrade to a 3D looking ship.
Again, he's had sightings of these UFOs with his neighbors, so it isn't just him. And like we talked about earlier, James, the neighbor, tried to take a picture and didn't succeed, so Julio makes it look easy. Check out the photos. And a website, julioconsiglio.com. Julio Consiglio. How do you think they will present themselves for this one-on-one personal encounter?
On a one-on-one personal encounter, I think, or I sense that, you know, someone who is ready to have that encounter, they're going to have to be alone, and it could take place. There's, you know, it could take place if they know, because they can sort of look into that quantum field and see, okay, is this person going to be alone for the next 20 minutes, half hour? Can we present ourselves safely, you know, in the backyard or on a field or somewhere like that? Or it could take place inside someone's house. They really have to know that that individual is ready for that direct face-to-face contact for that really to take place. But they're very creative, and you know, they know, or it knows, when I'm going to head outside. Oftentimes, I will literally step out the back door and within 10 seconds have a sighting and experience a sighting or spontaneous flash. So they, through that oneness and quantum field reality, they are connected. And I think having made that connection, it's even deeper now. So that's my sense on how it'll take place individually.
So when somebody first sees these kinds of things happening and then maybe gets frustrated because they can't photograph it, what do you suggest the next step would be?
That should be a reminder to sort of approach CE5 contact or wanting to make contact and have some proof, is come from a space of sort of non-attachment. Because if someone is going out there strictly, for example, just wanting to get a video or photograph, they're probably not going to have an experience or sighting, because they're wanting to make a connection. They're not wanting it to be superficial in that sense. And once that connection is made, I have found, it literally will be happening to you. You won't even have to call them in. It's just being present, being open, and then, having, them slow down enough or come close enough that you can record or photograph. So that's where they're coming from. I'm just sort of getting this right now. I'm reminded that these are enlightened beings. They're enlightened masters, and they're not attached, nor are they affected by someone else's reaction towards them or someone else wanting them to do something necessarily. So that's how you got to sort of approach it. You've got to sort of meet them at that sort of frequency where you're just going to be open and non-attached to what will happen. And you'd be surprised and amazed what does happen when you approach it that way.
Well, and for you, this has been a process. I remember before, two or three books ago, this wasn't even on your radar, all right?
None whatsoever. I mean, I think I may have mentioned to you back in 2018, I was power walking at a park in a city where I grew up in. And for no reason, I stopped, took a picture of the sky. And when I got home, washed up, and then later looked at my phone, I was reminded, hey, you took a picture out there. And I remember not being able to look at it then and there because of the sun glare. And I saw what looked like two faces looking at me. The clouds were in the shape of, the one on the left reminded me more of a gray, and the one on the right almost like a different sort of species of ET. And, I showed it to some friends, and I can't remember if I even sent it to you, but I didn't make much of it. Fast forward 2 years, and it wasn't on my radar, is when the sightings took place. And even back then, in 2020, when this started in October, I wasn't out there looking for anything. I was hanging out with two neighbors, and we were just back there chatting, usually about spirituality because, of what I do. But no, what was never on my radar. I knew they existed. I just had that knowing, and having experienced the paranormal, I knew basically, essentially, anything is possible. It was definitely not on my radar.
Well, you can basically follow the trajectory with your books. When you've got the healing frequency, challenge your thoughts, open your third eye, and then cosmic contact. Okay, so here's Connect the Dots 101. That's how it works.
Definitely. When I look back and I reflect what has evolved in my writings, especially with Open Your Third Eye, experiencing, I'm going to say in the last 5 years, just a profound acceleration and expansion of my psychic gifts and just the being able to really read energy. I can see where this just opened the door, because it was with the first sighting, one of the first sightings, with that pill-shaped object that I recorded coming through the sky, I had a sense before I saw it to look there. But I couldn't, if you had asked me, why are you turning around? I really couldn't say why. but I had the sense or felt guided to. So I definitely see the progression without question with what has taken place now.
Now, when you meditate, what do you focus on?
I sort of make my life a moment by moment meditation, and essentially it's on stillness, that cosmic or universal consciousness. So I'm just sort of living in the moment. I do have, you know, things that I want to create for my life so you more so are just operating through gratitude and appreciation for things that you know are on their way. But for the most part, it's just being very present and experiencing the soul or the highest self directly, which I call, you know, making that meditation almost like a prayer, where you're just communing with your unmanifested essence. And, you know, that's within each and every one of us. It's just becoming aware of it. And the minute you become aware, you open the door from potential to possibility.
You talk about having, you know, connection and all. What do you think is attractive about humans? What seems to be the glue or the carrot that gives them an interest in us?
I think there's two sort of things coming there. Number one is there's that universality, that universal consciousness that connects us with them. They see us as family, and we don't see them as family quite yet. So that's from the spiritual point of view. From a material 3D point of view, and, you know, I can't really, you know, prove any of this yet, but my sense is that the humans that are here were more likely seeded by these highly evolved intelligences. So it's sort of a two-pronged type of thing. Ultimately, so beyond the 3D and physicality, we're all extensions and come from source, them and us. But from a 3D point of view, I sense that there's a connection in terms of seeding this planet as well.
I just did an interview with a woman who is the author of The Petroglyphs of Mu. That is also the same element there, that these indigenous cultures have history, and not just that, the culture she was studying, but all over the planet, of beings from elsewhere who basically gave us breadcrumbs, ways to navigate the stars, to look at external influences on our planet that imply that we had a source beyond this physical world.
That's my sense. And I also deeply sense this, that once contact is made and there's that face-to-face contact, I can't help but feel we're going to be given an accurate history. I can't help but feel that there's been so much that's been hidden from us that hasn't been disclosed, you know, not just in terms of spirituality and, you know, the potential of every human being becoming enlightened, but where human beings originated from. I can't help but sense there's so much that has not been revealed, and that true history will come when it is actually revealed to us directly.
Well, in some ways, I think it's been here and been gone, because our planet has gone through tremendous changes, upheaval, being hit by asteroids, you know, cataclysmic events that would change not only the population, but the geographical areas that we are able to inhabit on this planet. And so they continue to discover past history, you know, underneath where there's an incredible piece of tapestry or a piece of history is discovered when they're doing some digging and excavating ruins and deciding, oh my gosh, this is just the top layer, not the third layer down. So I think some of that happened as we continue to populate the planet and survive different types of cataclysmic events. So to me, it's like maybe it was here, and we just didn't know how to connect the dots, especially when we don't listen to the indigenous cultures and say, oh, well, you know, that's an imaginative, that's fiction. Honestly, recently I was John Foster is one of my, I love his stuff. I think he's got some fantastic information talking about hidden behind the scenes, ongoing presence of transdimensionals, ETs, whatever word you need to apply to them. And he was doing an interview. This is 1992. And the interviewer was incredibly trying to distance from this topic, saying, if you believe in this, well, then this is for you. And some of you do. I mean, it was very, very definitely walking a fine line, trying to say, there's no way I'm going to fall for this stuff, okay? But if you're into it, hey, it's great fiction. And that was literally the comment, it's great fiction. So we've come a long way.
I would say so. And like me personally, even, you know, with regards to the potential that they seeded this planet, that's not something I can say for certain. There's only, you know, based on the experiences I've had and just the downloads I've received, you know, there's that sense. But I think more and more people, and probably more than we realize, are ready to know the truth about this, and to know, you know, from a very human perspective, it looks like we are separate, in, you know, from the afterlife or the spiritual realm. But when you operate through your spiritual senses and through your unmanifested or spiritual self, you realize that the two worlds are actually one, that there is no separation between the spiritual realm and this realm, because physical matter is spirituality expressed. Or manifested. So there is so much more to what we're seeing with our five, you know, with our eyes than meets the eye. So humanity is awakening, and on multiple levels, and we're getting to that point where, as a collective, we're going to make it possible to know really the, you know, the greater truths that have been hidden from us.
I think you mentioned earlier the harm thing, do no harm is what how I interpret that. And that's the message that I get, is that when we are able to fully appreciate the diverse populations, whether it's plant, mineral, animal, you know, people, human, that all of this here is in some way, shape, or form relevant and sacred. And until we can get to that level, then they're going to, I think, continue maintaining a presence, trying to get us to elevate and appreciate that this is a nursery and all of us have value, and stop trying to exterminate our neighbors.
Yeah. I love how you describe that, too. You know, I would just say add one thing is find the sacred within you. And then you will see the sacredness in everything and everyone. So, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is a work in progress. And I love the fact that you're getting a visual component so that people can see the call and response. And that's what you're doing, call and response. And once you've established that thread and that interaction and makes it visible to others, then they can do their own experimentation, saying, okay, can I create this for myself? And can I quiet my ego and my need to prove this to everyone else just enough to prove it to myself? Once you prove it to yourself, then it doesn't matter what anybody else believes or sees. That's the power.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's coming from that sort of, you know, that old saying, you know, don't let, you know, others, what others think of you, impact you. So it's spiritual maturity is where we're headed, and spiritual evolution. And once you have your own personal experience with these highly evolved beings, it's transformative, and, you know, you're going to want to share it. But, you know, it's important to remember that we're also experiencing and living life, you know. So it's having a balance of, because you can focus too much on anything. And it's just knowing that reality does exist. And when it actually reveals itself and shares of itself with you, you really don't need any other proof. You've seen it or experienced it or felt it. So.
Okay, the book is Cosmic Contact, and it's basically a way of establishing yourself a presence, giving yourself permission to let go of the, I guess, the fear, but also the distance of the other thing that it can't be real. You know, that it must be my imagination. I must be projecting this. Discovering the unreal.
It is the impossible.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And knowing, okay, anything's possible. Discovering the unifying factor that connects the human being with the extraterrestrial. And that's the way the language for it. But we have to get beyond the thing of, I already know what exists. This is all that is. And this is what our science says is real. And explore what else is here. Because obviously there's more to this equation, especially when you've got stuff that flashes lights back from the sky and doesn't have anything to do with our science or our military. Thank you.
That's well put, Wendy. I'd have to completely agree with that. Going beyond our individual ego, because the ego is very limited. You know, it tends to just operate between past and future, ignoring the present moment. But it's that present moment that offers the clarity, the insight, the discernment. You know, all our spiritual gifts are available there when you're aligned with that. And that's where you enter the quantum field. It's the doorway to experiencing this sort of phenomena.
Well, I think this is a way of developing a presence and a method and a way of establishing for you, for your personal self, okay, this is how it works, and this is how I can recreate it. Because having it happen once is cool. Being able to recreate it is where the magic lies, and that's what you're demonstrating with your videos and your books.
Yeah, and I have found I've inspired especially a lot of Instagram followers, and I'm getting messages, oh, I'm seeing things now, or I listened, you know, because sometimes I'll put a post and I'll talk a little bit about how, you know, how to approach it with sort of a non-attached way. And, you know, it's working for a lot of people. So it's not very complicated. It's just being your authentic self. Just be honest, true to yourself, and approach it sort of with that sort of spirit of that anything is possible and that you're open to experience. And, you know, there may be a little bit of fear in the background because it's something that seems, you know, unknown, but that can change and that can shift. So, yeah, the potential is there for anyone who approaches it with an open mind to have that experience.
What I think is funny, Cheryl Costa has done some research, homework, and investigating of how many people see UFOs, why they see UFOs, what's the common denominator, and there were two that stuck out. She said most people who call in a report, a sighting, or see a UFO, maybe there's three components. One is they're looking up. Okay, that's number one. Okay, that's important. The other one is they're smoking a cigarette. Okay, they have to go out and take a smoke break. And usually if you work the night shift, you're going to be out and doing something, maybe looking at the stars. And the other one is walking the dog. So those are the three components that rule into the likelihood that you are going to have an encounter. You look up. Okay, that's a big that's a big one. You're smoking and smoking. Well, okay, there's the high point. And then the other one is walking the dog, which is like, the dog is dragging me out again. So those are excuses and reasons. I just thought that was a fun note, because I did go to a UFO event and I walked into the room and I was astounded that it was full of smokers, and I didn't even put that together that's how come they're seeing this is because they're outside and looking up, right place, right time.
Exactly. And it's funny that you mentioned the right place, right time, because for initially I thought this is, like I would say to my neighbors, like, look at the synchronicity. I'm standing here and the triangle, this was like some dates are just sort of etched. December 4th, 2021, the triangle flew from behind me. And then I realized, no, it's appearing wherever I'm looking. They know where you're looking. They know. So it's not so much synchronicity. It's that there's that connection, and they realize, you know, who's going to be able to pick up and discern. They're operating on energy, frequency, and vibration, and it astounds me just how much they've mastered energy and universal energy.
I like what you posted on Instagram. Death is rebirth. When you allow the past to die, when you allow moments to die, you allow for new miraculous experiences to spontaneously manifest. That's like, be open to the possibility.
Exactly, because as long as you're carrying around these sort of beliefs in the back of your mind that, you know, the only thing that exists is what you're seeing, you know, in front of you, you completely close the door. The universe, or whether you want to call it God or source, is not going to argue with you. Whatever you sort of say is possible for you, that's what you get. Because literally, and I mean this literally, every thought, even our words, are doorways to alternate realities. Like I said, there is so much more happening in the unseen. You know, from my point of view, all of creation has already taken place, including every single possibility. And if we realize how powerful we are in being able to steer our experience with our vibration, the way we feel, our thoughts, our words, we would become more selective on what we put our attentions on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, the book is Cosmic Contact, Giulio Consiglio. And the deal with this is, anyone who wants to see what you're doing can follow you on Twitter or on Instagram, or they can check out your website. That's also a possibility. Amazing. That would be way too easy. And that's your name, GiulioConsiglio.com. Okay, so we've covered all the bases. Anything you'd like to add before I let you go back out and look at the sky?
I just wanted to thank you, Wendy. It's always like a tremendous pleasure every time we connect or email. You know, I look forward to it. And I want to thank you because you were essentially one of the first, if not the first, that listened to me. And, you know, you were more than open to like, yeah, send me stuff. Show me what you're seeing. So I can't begin to thank you enough. So I'm very grateful.
I like what you've titled for your website, Teachings Not of This World. Okay, perfect.
I must have somehow predicted, you know, somehow it all meshed together.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yes, you set the intent and then you manifested it. It's perfect.
Exactly.
GiulioConsiglio.com. The book, Cosmic Contact. I'll post links in the description for the show. Thanks for listening.